This
is the Producers.
The Producers. A podcast.
The biggest names in audio production.
Station sound.
Branding.
Radio imaging.
And voiceover.
Voiceover.
Like me.
And me.
Hey. And me.
Bitches.
Interviews.
Tips.
Tricks.
Advice.
Plus the dirty little secrets you always wanted to know.
Or not.
To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com.
Now.
There's a word I never say in copy.
The Producers.
The Producers. With Ryan Green.
What's up, Producers Podcast? Back episode 33. Thank you so much for checking it out. John Kerber. He'll be coming up. Part one, just to give you a little roadmap, will be mostly about his background, how he got to where he has got to. Part two, we'll talk more tech speak. We'll talk about the tools that he likes to use, how he learned to do what it is he does, and a little bit more about some of the other things that he's doing besides working on the Howard Stern channels over there at Sirius. So I think it's a really good episode. Part two, a little lengthy, so make sure you have plenty of time. I do want to take a quick minute to thank my buddies at AV Deli. They continue to sponsor the podcast. You'll see their link on the podcast page, avdeli.com. Thanks, guys. And I also have another announcement, but in the interest of keeping the conflicting company type mentions separate, wait till the end of part two. I have a fun new promotion that I can mention, or you can just simply go to my website. There's a nice little picture of it right there on the front page, and you can see all about that. Two more things. One, I'll save that for a second. The Facebook page. I created a Facebook page for the podcast finally. I figure they invented this new thing called Facebook. I may as well use it, but you should be aware you don't have to like it. It's totally as just an extra way for you to keep updated on this. If that's a better way for you to keep updated on when I'm going to release episodes or like let's say I have promotions related to the podcast, not related to me. Also, future guests, if you're going to be able to submit questions, that kind of thing. It'll be on the Facebook page. It is actually facebook.com/prodpod. Facebook.com/prodpod. I believe you can just search Producers Podcast. It'll come up. I crossed over the mighty 25 like threshold. Therefore, I got the fancy URL, facebook.com/prodpod. Really creative. I know. So check that out. Link on the website and RyanOnTheRadio.com too if you want to just go there. And by the way, producerspodcast.com is also a site you can use. I never mentioned that because I don't, whatever. It does exist. Also, and I'm going to say this not to tell you to vote for me because, I don't think I'm that kind of guy. Maybe I am, but I would like the support of any one of these five people. It's kind of fun. There's a new awards deal, the Worldwide Radio Summit Awards. Two of the four people that are nominated against me have been guests on this podcast. I respect every single person that was nominated, so I'm not asking you to vote for me. I'm just asking you to vote. AllAccess.com. You have, from the date that I'm releasing this, another 5 days to vote. You have until March 21st to vote. The Worldwide Radio Summit Awards. There is a link on my website. It's in the blog. Also, if you go to All Access, it'll be pretty easy how to vote. There's a ton of categories. You can vote for whoever you want, but you can also you can vote for all, one, or multiple. I will say congrats to Jake Kaplan at AMP and also with his work at K-Rock and Jack in L.A. He was nominated. Josh Ross at WBBM in Chicago. Not familiar with Josh, but I am aware that he does good work. Kelly, Kiss in LA. Pretty much anybody listening to me knows who Kelly is. And yeah, if I lose and it's to her, that'd be all right. Matt Anthony, very, very solid voice. I know him basically as a voice talent. But anyway, very solid dude. He's a voice guy over at Benstown, in fact. Do some work for them. Anywho, and me. So we're all nominated. Go vote for whoever your favorite is. Please don't feel compelled to vote for me. Just vote for somebody. It'd be really cool to have the vote come out more than like 5-4 to 3-2-1. You know what I'm saying? All right, there we go. That's all I'll say about that. John Kerber. We will start with the brand new demo from his brand new barter service called Blue Sound Design. Thanks for checking it out.
It's an embarrassing problem facing production directors everywhere. ID, imaging dysfunction. Production that just doesn't rise to the occasion. Citadel Media Networks introduces Blue Sound Design. a whole new production solution for CHR. With Blue, you'll again be master of your audio domain. Don't take my word for it. Here's some examples of the newfound power you'll have in the production room.
What's going on?
Check it out.
Blue Sound Design.
A new concept in audio imaging.
Oh, it feels good.
Three, two, one.
All right, I love it! What up, what up?
Not just a cutting-edge imaging effects library, but a fully produced imaging service offering custom station sweepers.
Blue, you're my boy!
Delivered to your station every quarter. You get all the tools you need to enhance your own original imaging effects. Wipes. Drones. Useful drops.
Nice.
Artist IDs.
This is Lady Gaga.
Listeners.
Commercials off. Music on.
Letters.
A.
Numbers.
Zero.
The future of CHR production libraries.
Blue.
Blue Sound Design.
Blue Sound Design.
New generation. New era.
Blue's imaging professionals will also post shells. It's okay to cheat. Just drop in your voiceover and you're done.
Station name here.
Check it out.
I love it.
Yeah. Get all the hits.
All the hits.
All day long.
One station.
Station name here.
Or pull apart to make your own creation. New generation, new era. Introducing the Blue Blog. Affiliates get access to an online social network. Get imaging tips and tricks. With screenshots and video tutorials. Plus, you can network with other producers and share ideas. Best production parts and custom imaging. That's Blue Sound Design.
Blue Sound Design.
To affiliate, call Citadel Media at 1-866-4-FORMAT.
The mind sees with the ear.
Blue.
Blue Sound Design.
Blue Sound Design.
John Kerber. Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, you're one of those guys that I learned, actually, now that I think about it, the very first time I ever heard about you was through, like, it wasn't even like a friend of a friend on Facebook. It was through somebody posting a link about this new service. So I checked it out, and I'm like, man, that is good stuff. And turns out you're John Kerber, and so I just threw you an email. And so this is kind of my first Facebook, 100% Facebook contact, I guess.
So Facebook's good for something.
Yes, evidently. No, you know, everybody always says, you know, if I haven't seen them by that ex-girlfriend or whatever in 13 years and found them in Facebook. But Facebook's good for business, too. So, John, we're going to talk I would say two main things throughout this interview. Are you most well-known at this point for your work with Howard Stern, or is the Blue Sound Design kind of getting up there?
I guess...
Or is it something else?
You know, it's kind of a hodgepodge of things. Actually, prior to this gig, prior to the Howard gig, I was at MTV.
And what'd you do at MTV? Just briefly, we'll get into it more when we go through your background, I suppose, but...
Mostly, I helped launch their satellite radio station.
Okay.
In 2003. And then later on, that went away. But I stayed on and I did long form syndicated programming and sound design and worked with MTV.com. And
okay.
Then landed over here.
Well, let's start. Let's just dive right into the background, just to give people kind of a roadmap. We already heard the great demo you produced for your brand new service with Citadel Media, Blue Sound Design. I was using the buyout on that, by the way, for a while. It's a great service. We're going to talk some of your background. We're going to talk your work with Howard Stern, your new projects with Citadel Media. We'll also get into a little bit of the geeky stuff, if that's okay, in part two.
Sure.
We'll try and get some of the audio files and the nerds out there really happy. But start me off, you know, without going into too much detail, why did you want to be in this radio thing?
You know, my family is, there's a lot of lawyers and doctors. And I kind of just didn't fit into that mold. I went to I went to a prep school in high school where we had to cut our hair a certain length. We had to wear uniforms, and I really just didn't fit in with that. And I took a mass media class, though, our senior year. They offered this thing, and all of a sudden I wanted to be a TV director, or I wanted to be in entertainment in some way. And for our senior project, we had to make a TV show, and we went to the local university and we got to use their TV studio. And I was just kind of hooked on this kind of thing after that. And also my brother, Ed, we're only 17 months apart. He was really into radio, and I just kind of did whatever Ed did.
he was the older?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what part of the country are you growing up in?
Scranton, Pennsylvania, home of The Office.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did radio out there in Sussex County, New Jersey, but, you know, we would flood over into the PA market, and then I did some stuff out that way, too. So it's a small world.
Very cool.
Did you start the radio market in the Scranton market? I mean, did you start your radio career in the Scranton market?
Well, actually, I went to Ithaca College.
That's a good media school.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And they had an awesome internship program in Los Angeles. They actually have like a satellite campus out in L.A. And you can go there for anything, for film, TV, radio. And the only one who would return my phone call was Kiss FM in Los Angeles.
Oh, just Kiss. Okay, yeah.
So Kiss it was. And I started out there as a promotions intern. And I got to meet the great Jeff Thomas.
Yeah, so was he there at the? Was he actually in the building at the time when you were there?
Yeah, he was. He was actually. I don't know if you know Jeff's story at Kiss, but initially he had a hard time getting working papers and staying in the States, and he had to go back and forth to Australia. But
because you'd only be in the country for like a certain amount of months at a time, right?
And yeah, and you know, there were actually, if, I guess you know, Jeff and I are really close. Yeah, he was working from a hotel room, and then he had to go back to Australia, and he was doing like midnight to 6 a.m. just to keep his job and everything, and it was just a real nightmare for him.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I had Jeff. I don't think we got too much into that in his interview. We didn't talk about that. That's interesting.
And then I got back to college that fall, and there's a station in Corning, New York called Wink 106.
Okay.
Bob Quick was the program director there. He was Ithaca alumni. And I thought, oh, what the heck, I'll put my tape in and see if I can get some weekend gigs with him. And I spoke English and I could press buttons, so I was hired. And I started doing the overnight shift. I just worked really, really hard in radio. You know, all my friends were out drinking and having a good time, and, you know, already by my sophomore year in college, I was already trying to get, you know, on-air gigs. And I just moved up there. I started voice tracking on their country station. I started filling in for Afternoon Drive, filling in for the morning show. And I would just get a call, and it would, you know, it would just be, hey, do you want to go to, you know, physics of sound class, or do you want to be on the radio? And I'd say, oh, I'm going to blow this class off for today. And I'd, you know, take a midday shift, and I'd just drive up to Corning. It was about 45 minutes away. And I did that for a while. And then my senior year was approaching, and I was going to move back home and look for work. I was thinking maybe I would move in with my parents and save up and move back out to L.A. and try to get something there. So I got weekends at KRZ in Scranton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was doing that, and I just kept on riding the wave. I never really intended on being an on-air personality, but it just kind of hooked, and got the attention of the Crosstown Top 40 station, and they hired me for a full-time night gig. So my plans for L.A. were put on hold.
Yeah.
And permanently, pretty much. And I kind of always had L.A. in the back of my mind. I wanted to, at some point in my life, maybe return there.
Are you a big fan of that kind of world out there? It's a different lifestyle on that coast, for sure. Are you a big fan of that? Or
yeah, it was just like, I don't know, it was just different. Like, I love New York, but it can get really cold.
Yes,
and
it can.
You know, in New York, you don't get in your car and you go places. You walk everywhere, and it gets so grueling, especially in January and February, and you're walking with a hard drive and a bag, and, you know, it just, Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm in Dallas for a few reasons, but yeah. The weather is definitely one of them.
And so I did nights on BHT, and I did really well in the ratings, and they moved me up to afternoon drive. I was doing that for a while. And
what time period are we talking about right now?
That was 2000 was when I got hired for nights.
At BHT?
At BHT. So I did nights for a couple months. They moved me up to afternoon drive. And then I put my tape into Mix 95.7 in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. As for an on-air gig?
For an on-air gig.
Okay.
And I got that gig. So I was working crazy hours. I was working 7 days a week. I got one day off a month.
You mean you kept the BHT gig?
Yes.
But you were doing weekends in Philly also or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And I've known a couple people to do that, yeah.
So it was up and down the turnpike.
But it's a great part about doing radio in those sort of mid-level markets out there in Jersey and PA is you've got, you know, two major markets pretty close.
Yeah.
Plus you got Boston to jump into if you can and... Yeah.
Yeah, like BHT, you know, Kid Kelly was on BHT.
Yeah. Oh, there's a, yeah, anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess at a certain point, you're going to start doing some production work.
Yeah. Well, that's when it all came crashing down was pretty much 2003. I got laid off from BHT. It was January. So it was like, you know, just over a year from September 11th when the economy took the first dip.
Yeah.
And it was really, really bad. Mix 95.7 flipped formats. They went more adult.
Mm-hmm.
So they dropped me there. So I was sitting home for a little bit. And I really just, up until that point, I just really kind of rode the wave. And I said, you know, they're never going to figure out how to... make a production guy a robot.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Okay.
And there's always going to be work in that. You know, they're not going to voice track a production guy. Even if they find ways to automate it, you still have to have some sort of creative to, you know, to make it go.
The jobs might slim down a bit, but they'll never disappear.
Right. And I thought with audio production, you know, even if I don't make it in radio, there's TV, there's film. You know, with all the new media coming out, there's tons of jobs.
Yeah.
And I got a Pro Tools MBox system and put it on my credit card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably still paying it off with interest from 2003 with 28% interest or whatever it is.
Sure.
But I took a, you know, I took a risk and I got that. And I started doing a few stations out in Montana.
And how did you get those first stations? Is it a friend of somebody or
I actually went on All Access and okay. I put out a little ad that had a little production company and I was, you know, looking for imaging clients. And I picked up two clients in Montana and it paid just enough for me to eat and to pay my rent. And that was good enough for me because it meant that I could get a really good demo tape together.
Yeah. Yep.
And I just, you know, I had no job to report to, and I just stayed in my apartment all day like a nerd and just really, really futzed around with stuff. I, you know, I was listening to the FMQB Pipes CDs.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, surfing the web and, you know, finding anything I could with imaging. Crash Creative was a site I went on. I believe they were doing some imaging for BHT and that's how I heard about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really got into it. And then, unemployment, was going to end and, the stuff I had in Montana wasn't enough to, you know, minus the unemployment enough to survive. And I was starting to pay my Visa card with my MasterCard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really just had to make a decision. And finally, MTV put a post up saying that they were looking for an imaging guy for their satellite radio station in New York.
And so you apply for that gig.
And in about 5 minutes, I got a phone call back and they said, "We love your tape. We want you to come in for an interview."
because I think there'll be some people that are interested to know. You obviously at that point hadn't had very much production experience.
Right.
You're working out of an apartment. What do you think it was about what you had on your demo that got you the job?
I think it was, just really listening to other material and trying to mimic what was hot, just so I could fit in with the big boys, you know?
Okay.
How do they filter their voice? How do they get it to sound this way or that way, or their pacing and the tempo? And, you know, I listen to my stuff, you know, from back then, and I want to cringe.
Everybody does, right? I know I do. Yeah.
And I wonder how it even got me to MTV, but, it was just that kind of mimicking thing.
Let me ask you this. Well, I guess we'll kind of bounce around to these different types of things I like to do, but at the time, like we've already established, you didn't have a ton of production experience. So you hear, let's say you're listening to some of Jeff Thomas's stuff, and you hear him get these voices to sound the way he does. But, I'm just assuming you didn't have contact with a ton of the big-time producers. So how did you learn how to make the stuff do what you wanted it to do?
I read Keith Eubanks' story about how he came up with the Keith Eubanks filter.
Okay.
And I guess it was a result of an air conditioning unit that was over his head in the studio, and he was trying to always get that sound out of his microphone, and he kept on cutting frequencies out until he was right around the 500 hertz mark.
Uh-huh.
And he ran his voice through it and just said, oh, that EQ sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
And he, you know, from what I know, he was kind of the birther of that sound.
Yeah, that CHR, that CHR sound that everybody uses, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I guess I was reading that article, and then I saw that you can make kind of more complex EQ curves other than just, you know, cutting everything off below 500.
A simple roll-off, now you can actually start peaking and dropping other frequencies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just started to experiment with that, and really since, I did have formal training in college on audio production, but imaging to me was just, an all-out assault on audio.
Yeah.
And there was no rules, and, you know, I would distort stuff. I would, you know, not follow levels.
Yeah.
I would just do whatever I could to make it sound cool.
At the time, what, you know, 03-ish, so what are you in, like the 5-point-something range of Pro Tools? Or?
Yeah, I think it, back then it still even had the offline bounce where it didn't take real time to bounce it down.
Okay. So did you just also just have like kind of the standard plugins it was coming with, or had you made an investment in other plugs?
I bought Waves Gold.
Okay. Okay.
And that's all I could afford. I mean, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
But Waves Gold just, it was great because it had everything you need and nothing you don't.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Cool. Okay. So we'll get into more of the technique and stuff as we move along. But so you get this gig at MTV. Was this officially when you figured out, okay, wait a minute, this is a legit job. I'm going to stay in this business now forever. I'm confident now.
Yeah, MTV was it for me.
And were you working out of, what was that, Sirius?
We were actually working out of the MTV building, but we had two different buildings. We had the 1515 Times Square building, and then we had the Paramount building, 1633 Broadway. And we worked between those two studios. The studio was housed in 1633, but we also had another studio in 1515.
So you were then pretty much, it was a full-time gig. You're living in Jersey at this point?
Yeah.
And you're traveling into the city, and you're working probably a ton of, from what I understand about MTV, great place to get a start, but they'll work the crap out of you, and you're not going to make a ton of money. Is that true?
Yeah, that's okay. Very true.
I was trying to say that in a nice way, actually.
No, I it's okay to say. And okay. I know a lot of people, you know, they'll leave MTV, but then they'll come back and they'll do okay. Sometimes you get to a glass ceiling, and, you know, in order to prove yourself, you know, maybe you have to go out and do Howard Stern, and then they say, oh, he did, you know, Howard Stern imaging.
Yeah.
You know, he is worth something. Okay, let's bring him back.
Cool. And let's see here. How long were you at MTV, and is this going to be a quick transition into the Howard Stern work, or are you there for a while?
I was there for 3 years.
Okay.
And it was awesome. I was in my 20s. I was in New York.
Yeah.
I was working at MTV. It was really cool. I was doing audio.
Yeah, no, you definitely have one of those stories. I've talked to a few guys, I think, that have, like Dom Nero at Hot 97, you know, younger guys working in the cities. So you definitely have a good situation going on.
Yeah, I remember there was a, you know, talking about the money situation, there was a guy who came in, and he was a production guy there a long time ago. And he's like, oh, man, I can't believe, you know, what they pay people here. I mean, I know what you guys make, but when I was here, they paid me, and he said, you know, X amount. And what we were making was significantly less.
So he thought you were doing better than he was?
Right.
Okay.
and we thought we'd kill to have what he made.
Yeah.
You know, and that was like 7 years ago he made right. that. So we were definitely getting underpaid there.
So I guess the next move will be to get brought on the Howard Stern channels.
Yeah, I met a guy at MTV. His name's David LeClaire, and just an awesome guy, very talented guy. He got hired away from MTV to do Stern's tapes.
Okay.
Stern had won the lawsuit against CBS to get all of his yep. old material,
mm-hmm.
and he was assembling a tapes team, and they were looking for production guys, and they got him. And the way the Stern thing came about was the initial guy. It was almost like the MTV thing where they had it launched for a year, and then the guy left. So the guy prior to me, Jerry Rohira, he does a lot of the music channels, and he's done O&A and you know, lots of stuff here. They trust him with everything. He's good.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. And he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But you know, he moved over to the music side. He just kind of got burned out on things, I guess, and or got promoted or whatever his story was. In any case, he wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And the position opened up, and they were kind of scrambling because it was like, hey, we don't even have anything established yet. We just got Howard on the air. You know, we don't have any shows established or any, you know, branding.
I was just going to say, I know Jeff Thomas had something to do with the actual serious launch of Howard, right?
Yeah, so this is kind of where it all comes full circle.
Okay. I thought it might.
Is, you know, Tim Sabian, who's the program director of the channels, was asking the staff, do you know any good imagers? And Dave LeClaire said, I know this guy, John Kerber, over at MTV. He's great. I'll get you his tape. And I was, you know, just a couple blocks over from Sirius, and Tim called me and said, hey, can you come and have lunch and we'll talk?
Mm-hmm.
And so I came in, I played him my tape. He really liked the tape. And he said, you know, tell me a little bit about your history. And I told him about my history, and he said, oh, I see you have an internship here at Kiss FM in LA. Do you know Jeff Thomas? I said, yeah, I know Jeff Thomas. And he said, oh, well, he's doing a lot of our logo imaging and special projects right now. Would you mind if I talk to him about you? And I said, sure, go ahead. And Jeff gave me an awesome recommendation. And it just kind of sealed the deal. You know, Jeff's blessing, and then someone on staff who put my tape on Tim's desk. And I must have gone through 4 or 5 interviews to get the job because, you know, you have to meet Gary, you have to meet Howard, you have to meet the president of the company,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's... you know, Howard's the engine pulling the train here at Sirius.
Sure.
So, you know, they just want a guy that they can really trust with it. And they really kicked the tires on me. And we went back and forth. And then finally he offered me the gig.
And that was like 06-ish, right?
Yeah, that was that was around October 2006.
Because he just signed the 5-year deal. And that was the end of his first 5 years. So you were there. Yeah, like you mentioned, pretty quick.
Yeah.
So tell me your thoughts then as you're, I mean, you know, you really can't be alive in America and not having at least heard of Howard Stern. Most people know exactly who he is, you know, just pretty much the biggest name, you know, in radio. Were you at all, I don't know, like what was your brain doing when you were kind of like getting ready to take this job?
Man, I thought, you know, somebody pinch me. You know, can I do this?
Well, that's what I was kind of curious. Like, were you at all scared? Like, you know, what if I pulled the wool over someone's eyes and they actually, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's true, but well, like a lot of what ifs, like, man, what if Howard says, holy crap, I think you suck. We made a bad mistake or those kinds of things.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had the demons in my head.
Yeah.
You know, and I definitely had the nightmares and everything. The first 3 months was just hell here, to be totally honest.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, the only reason I would ask that question is because I know you've been successful there, so it's safe to ask it. But yeah, so that first 3 months then, tell me about that.
Yeah, it was just, you know, we're trying to find a sound, and, you know, I had a lot of my old crutches and stuff that I used, and I just really needed to develop something that was different.
Right. At that point, you can't copycat, right? You have to be completely original.
Absolutely. Because, you know, when you're imaging a top 40 station, you can kind of go on to a service and say, okay, I can grab these three shells plus make my own. But with Howard, it's like, you know, there's no Howard production library. You kind of just have to, you know, come up with it, which is where Blue started.
Okay, so so part two coming up. We'll get more into Howard. We'll get into your Blue sound design, what you're doing with Citadel Media, and then we'll do a lot more nerdy stuff. But we got audio here. Tell me what we're going to hear. Pharrell, the night guy. What are we going to hear here?
Yeah, Pharrell. It sounds like Satan gargling nails. Pharrell's production is some of my favorite because you just, it's really that whole assault on audio. Very dissonant, very end of the world, apocalyptic sounding. I just love producing this stuff.
Awesome. Here we go. John Kerber, more in part two coming up.
Howard 101.
The Antichrist. Pharrell.
How do you believe?
The Church.
How do you believe?
Is born.
The Church of Pharrell.
Call.
In the name of the Father.